This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles. David is a man who is very conscious of what God has done for him. Very conscious of his own unworthiness to have received all of these blessings from the hand of God. David, though a man of great power and extreme wealth, never forgot his humble beginnings. He remembered that he was just a nobody, that he was just a shepherd boy, that his job was just chasing after sheep. And yet God took him from that humble beginning, and God made him the great ruler over Israel, and God gave to him victory over his enemies, made his house and family great, and established the kingdom with him. And David was always impressed by the goodness of God and the grace of God upon his life. But not only had God done so much for David, God promised to do so much more. It was as if the blessings of the past were nothing to compare with what God had promised he was going to do. So true for all of us. Look what God has done for us. Look at all of the blessings that God has bestowed upon our lives. Look around and see the good things that God has done. And yet, it's nothing compared with what God has promised he's going to do. We have the joy and the rejoicing of our sins forgiven, the redemption through Jesus Christ. But that's just the beginning. He has made me his child, and I'm going to live and reign with him forever in the glories of his kingdom. And those promises of the future are just marvelous. And David, so conscious of God's goodness and aware of the promises of God for the future, had upon his heart to somehow respond to God. I want to show God how much I love him. He has shown me how much he loves me. But I love him, and I want to show him how much I love him. And so David decided to show his love for God by building a magnificent palace for the Lord, the house of God, the temple, the place of worship. And yet, God could not allow David to build that house because God said, your hands are too bloody with war, David. But I'll let your son build the house, but instead, David, I will build you a house. And God went ahead and promised more things to David. But David decided that though he could not build the house, at least he could draw the plans and he could gather materials for it. And so David has been busying himself in his later years, gathering gold and gathering silver and brass and iron and cedars from Lebanon in order that they might have the materials to build the house. He ordered that the stones start being carved, getting things set to build. And then in the 28th chapter, David talks to his son Solomon, and he lays upon him the awesome charge and responsibility. Solomon, do it. Build the house for God. Now in chapter 29, he gathers together all of the elders of Israel, the chief captains, the leaders of the tribes. And he announces to them the fact that Solomon is going to be taking over the throne. But my son is young. He's inexperienced. And so I want you men to help him to build this palace for the Lord, for it's got to be great. It's got to be magnificent because it's for the Lord. And then David tells of his own personal contribution. Beside that which he had gathered from the government, David said, out of my own personal bank account, I'm going to give 3,000 talents of silver, 3,000 talents of gold, and 5,000 talents of silver. A talent was a weight, a measuring weight. They used scales, the balance scales. And so they would have rocks of various weights to use in the balance scales. And the talent was one of these rocks that they had carved in a round cylinder shape. And there is one in the British Museum that weighs 125 3/4 pounds. But they have determined that that is a 2-talent weight. And they estimate the weight of a talent to be approximately 66 3/4 pounds, somewhere in that neighborhood. So taking 66 pounds as the weight of the talent, David is giving 3,000 talents of gold. Do you know how much that would be translated into present-day money? 3,000 talents of 66 pounds, gold being at about $400 an ounce, David is giving $1,267 million worth of gold. Yeah, that guy's no slouch when it comes to giving. The 5,000 talents of silver works out to be about $44 million plus. And David said, this is what I've in my heart determined to give to the Lord. And he declares that the reason why he is giving this is because I have set my affection to the house of the Lord. I've set my heart on this. My heart's desire is to see this house for the Lord built, and thus I'm taking out of my own personal funds this money to be used in the construction of the Lord's house. Jesus said, for where a man's heart is, no, he said, where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. I think the converse is true. I think where your heart is, there is where your treasure will be. A lot of times we don't really know where our heart is, but we can just look and see where we have placed our values. Where have I placed my treasure? And wherever I place my treasure is where my heart actually is. David had a heart to see the house of God built. And because that was his heart, he had set his affection upon this. Thus, there is where he places also his treasure. $1,270 million plus the 44 million in silver plus the brass and the other things. David then challenged the elders of Israel to consecrate their service this day unto the Lord. Verse 5, he said, who then is willing? This is what I've done. Who among you are willing to consecrate your service unto the Lord? The key word in David's challenge is that of willing. Anything that I give to God has to come from a willing heart if it's to have any value at all. My giving to God should never be out of pressure. I should never feel sort of an obligation to give to God. God wants me to give to Him with just an open, willing heart because I love Him. And He wants my giving to be the expression of my love. Unfortunately, the church, and so often parachurch groups, have fallen into the bad program of raising funds for God. And so often they go to pledges, and they begin to pressure people to pledge even beyond what the person feels is a reasonable amount for them to give. And then oftentimes as you find your pledges coming due and your inability to make the pledge or the difficulty, you begin to resent what you give to God. And that's bad. We should never, never give to God out of pressure because someone is pushing us. This poor little child is going to die of starvation if you don't give. And thus you feel guilty. Or the work of God is surely going to fold up if you don't come through and support it. And it makes you feel real guilty. This ministry is going to have to close its doors next week unless we hear from you immediately. And you feel all kinds of pressure. Oh, the whole work of God's going down the tubes if I don't go out and borrow money and send it in, you know. And I feel guilty and I feel pressured and... yet when I then are trying to make the payments on the loan that I got, I think, ooh, you know, why did I ever do that? I can't afford to, you know, buy groceries, and here I am obligated with this. And we feel that pressure, and that should never be, never be. David said, if your heart is willing, who will willingly give yourself to the Lord? And we read that as they gave willingly. Three times it tells us they offered willingly. They offered willingly and they gave willingly. And that's the way it should be. Offering what I offer to God willingly. Whether it be of my time, whether it be of my energy, whether it be of my substance, whatever I give to God, I should give to God from my heart in a very willing way. That which I've willed or purposed in my own heart to give to the Lord. And so David is challenging these men to give. Paul the Apostle tells us that our giving should never be under a sense of duty or responsibility, because God loves a cheerful giver. And so they offered willingly. They responded to David's example and to David's challenge. And they gave 5,000 talents of gold, some $2 billion worth. I was reading where some church had a big, you know, drive. And interestingly enough, some churches are having these things to see which church can raise the most money in a single Sunday. You know, it's the big financial drives, and they push press, and everybody else, and we're going to bring it all in, and we're going to have the biggest offering in the history of the church, you know, on this given Sunday. Oh, God help us. But anyhow, you might as well forget it. You're never going to top David. These guys came through with $2 billion worth of gold, plus the silver and the brass and the iron and so forth, the precious gems. They gave jewelry and all to be used in the building of the temple. And they responded in a tremendous way with a staggering amount. But we read, verse 9, and the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Giving to the Lord should be the greatest joy and the greatest happiness that you know. And if you can't give with joy, then really you'd be better off not giving. The day that the ministry becomes work and is no longer fun, I'm going to resign. To me, the joy of my life is serving the Lord. It's just the greatest thing in the world. My wife gets after me. We'll plan a vacation to Hawaii, and we'll be over there just a week or so. And I say, honey, why can't we go home now? We've been here for, you know, a week. Let's go on home. And she gets after me because I want to come back to work. But it's not work. It's joy. It's pleasure. Giving to God is just a blessed thing. It's just the most joyous thing in the world is to give to the Lord. And it should always be that way. Our giving to God should always be just something that is a joy and a rejoicing to our hearts. And as these people gave, it became real hilarious. They started giving and the spirit of giving, and they started rejoicing and praising God and just giving out of hearts of praise and thanksgiving. And David, seeing the whole thing, could hardly contain it. He said, all right, you know, I just watched as they were giving to the Lord and the joy of the whole occasion. Again, looking at what Paul said, he was writing to the Corinthian church and asking them to take up an offering for the saints in Jerusalem who were suffering real poverty. And he said, you know, collect it before I get there. I don't want any collections made while I'm there. But he said, as every man has purposed in his own heart, so let him give. Not out of necessity and not grudgingly, because God loves a cheerful giver, and the word cheerful in Greek is hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. He wants you, when you give, to be hilarious. He wants your giving to be a hilarious experience. And God is blessed when we give hilariously to Him. Let me say, if you cannot give hilariously to God, you're really better off not giving at all. It should never be grudgingly. It should never be out of necessity, only with a heart of rejoicing. It should be a celebration of joy. Now, as David saw the people giving so joyfully unto the Lord, verse 10, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And he said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. He was overwhelmed at what God was doing in his heart and in the hearts of the people. He said, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is yours. David recognized that it all belongs, Lord, to you. And then he says down here just a little further that you are the one that has given to us the riches and the honor that we have. You reign over all. And your hand and your power and your might is the one that's made us great. And you're the one that's given us strength. If it weren't for the Lord, I wouldn't have a thing. God gave me the energies, God gave me the strength, God gave me the wisdom, God gave me the blessings, and God has bestowed upon me these things that I have. All that I have is not because of my wisdom or my genius or my efforts or whatever. God is just blessed. David recognized that. Lord, I was just a shepherd kid. I don't know anything. And you've blessed me with these blessings, Lord. Comes from you. And he recognized God as the source and the giver of those things that he possessed. In fact, he says, who am I that I should give these things to you? You know, here you're God. You own everything. You own the whole universe. Who am I to give to you? Lord, that which I give to you is really just yours anyhow. It all belongs to you, and I'm only then giving back what is yours. Now, you see the dilemma that David faced in the psalm that we read. When he said, what shall I give unto the Lord for all of his benefits unto me? Recognizing all of these benefits that God had bestowed, looking and seeing at all that he had, he became very conscious, God has been good to me. God has blessed me. God has provided me with wisdom and understanding and strength, and all of this comes from God. But he possesses everything. Everything in heaven and earth is his. Therefore, what can I give unto God for all of his benefits to me? You see, love always seeks to demonstrate itself by giving. Now, what can God give to show his love? God loves us so completely. What can he give to show us his love? Well, he gave his only begotten Son. What can I give to show my love to God? Everything that I have really belongs to him, so whatever I give him is his anyhow, so no big deal. You know, there was a time in my life and for years when I used to look at giving with the idea of how much of my money can I afford to give to God this week? And I gave on the basis of how much I can afford to give of my money to God. But as years have gone by, and my relationship has developed and grown, now my question is, how much of God's money dare I spend upon myself this week for just me? I recognize that it's his. David recognized, Lord, it belongs to you. Therefore, what can I give unto God? What can I render to God for all of his benefits unto me? And really, I can just give him my heart and give him my life. That's all that I have, really. That was, in a sense, limited, my own, because he gave it to me. But it's giving back to him. You see, this morning, parents, having received these beautiful children, said, Lord, I recognize this is your gift to us. We want to give now our child back to thee. We want our child, Lord, to live for you. We want you to be able to use them in whatever way you see fit, Lord. You've blessed us with these children. Now we give them to you. And no matter what it is that I may seek to give to God, I recognize that God is the one who gave me my life to begin with. I owe my life to him. Whatever I possess, God has given to me. I owe it all to him. And so I give back to God that which is already his anyhow. But I do so with thanksgiving, with praise. Lord, you're great. You've been good. You have everything in the whole universe. It's yours, and yet you love me. And you reach down to touch me. Who am I, O Lord, to give to you? But yet, Lord, I willingly offer you my heart, my life, my all. Take, Lord, and use it as you desire. And giving ourselves willingly unto the Lord. And thus, it was a day of joy, a day of blessing, a day of great rejoicing. And David then said, Lord, plant this in their imaginations, in the thoughts of their heart forever. Don't ever let them forgive the joy and the blessing of giving to you. Just write this indelibly, Lord, upon their hearts this day, this special day, when they opened up their hearts to you and experienced the joy and the blessing of giving liberally unto God. May we never forget that all that we have has come from God. All that I have is actually His. But I have the privilege of willingly giving to Him from my heart as an expression of my love. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of giving, the blessing of giving, and the joy of giving to you. And Lord, take our lives. We offer them to you. Use them as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say that the church is not in great financial need, and this message is not intended to make you feel like, oh my, you know, there must be some problems. There's not. The church is greatly blessed. As Paul the Apostle wrote to the Philippian church, thanking them for the offering that they sent to him, he said, not that I really needed it, but I desire that fruit might abound to your account. The message today is my second message that I've given in 22 years on the subject of giving. So, with once every 11 years, that's probably the last message you'll ever hear me give on the subject of giving. Because I think the Lord's coming before another 11 years transpires. At least I hope so. My. The only reason for the message is that as I was reading, that's what God laid on my heart. And so, you take and do with it what you want. But know this. Never let anybody deceive you into thinking that God is dependent upon you and your gifts. You are dependent upon Him and His gifts. People have things turned around. God doesn't need your support to go on. He's going to go on with or without your support. I need His support to go on. I couldn't go a day without His giving to me. Giving is a privilege, a blessing, if it is done hilariously. And so, may God bless you as you go forth this week to give God some time. To give God some of your energies. To consecrate your service unto the Lord. And as you make whatever sacrifice, how large or small, may it be done with a willing heart as an expression of love. And may you thus experience the satisfaction and the joy of having given to God. May God make this a very special week for you. In Jesus' name.